I'm thankful that you're here today because there are some things about attendance that need to be said. These things are not negative in any way. In fact, if anything, they're encouraging. They're encouraging when we look at Scripture and what it does reveal about attendance, specifically attending the assembling of the church. I invite you to study along with us. We're going to be in the book of Acts, beginning in chapter 2, and we're going to follow through with some things in just a moment. But I want us first to go to Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17. Keith read it for us just a moment ago, but I'd like to read it again, this time with a little bit of emphasis for the sake of setting the tone and the pace for our study this morning. You see, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, we find that Christianity is a free will religion. Listen to the words again. The Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that is the people of God, say come. And let the one who hears say come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cause. Christianity is based upon an invitation that has been given by Jesus. John chapter 7 and verse 37. And now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, the people of God, according to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, invite those who will hear to come to Jesus. It's an invitation, one that can be accepted, one that can be rejected. But the invitation is extended. The one who hears this invitation, understood as a believer, is directed then to also invite, along with the Spirit and the bride. The one who is thirsty is invited to come. The one who wishes, the one who desires, the one who strongly wants is invited to take the water of life without cost, New American Standard Version. They're invited to come. The invitation is to come and accept the water that gives life. A water which Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse number 10 that He is able to give. How can the bride of Christ encourage Christians to attend the assembling of the body? Furthermore, to invite non-Christians to come and drink the same life-giving water which gives to all eternal life. Looking at the book of Acts, we find that the early church attendance displays a want-to principle. The Lord's church is first acknowledged in the present tense, meaning that it's already in existence, in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. Before Acts chapter 2, the church is acknowledged only as a future realization. Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, for example. As late as Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, the church is still only a promise that it would be fulfilled, a promise that it would be established. The promise that the Lord made that the church would be established with power, Mark chapter 9 verse 1, Matthew chapter 18 verse 18, was fulfilled when the apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. And so we begin our study there as the church in Acts chapter 2. Going back to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it is prophesied that the gospel would be preached first in Jerusalem. The first gospel sermon recorded for us is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 40. And that sermon was presented in Jerusalem. The early Christians who were there, those who were believers, rather, were baptized, and the Lord added them to the church, according to Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. These earliest Christians enjoyed religious and social fellowship with one another. Acts chapter 2, we read verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. Their worship assembly and their study assemblies were frequent, sometimes daily. Look at Acts 2 and verse 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. These obedient believers wanted to worship. They wanted to study, both in the temple and from house to house. Their want-to attitude concerning assembling enhanced brotherly love, Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. It also enhanced love for the brotherhood, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. And it enhanced the development of a like precious faith among believers, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1. Sometime after the establishment of the church, Peter and John were arrested for their teaching about Christ. The next day following their arrest, these men were threatened and released. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 says that when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. The report that was given where the people of God was gathered together. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Now, there's no way for us to ascertain definitively whether this was a gathering assembly of the church on the Lord's Day or if it was just a general assembling of believers. We note in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, the next verse, New American Standard says that the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. That word congregation means to multiply or a multitude. It's better represented by the King James, the New King James, and the English Standard Version as all the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Public preaching, though, did continue. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, on Solomon's portico in the temple area. So there was private and public meetings of the early church. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42 instigates another opportunity to see this. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. These daily assemblies included both preaching and teaching. Preaching is more of a formal teaching, usually in a public way. Teaching, though, is usually less formal than the preaching and is done most often in private settings. The church met frequently, not just for Lord's Day worship, but when they met because they wanted to. No admonition to assemble regularly has been given because under the want-to attitude, Christians got together without having to be told, without having to be poked or prodded. Early believers were of one heart and one soul, Acts 4, verse 32. They were enjoying the unity for which Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 21. They were of the temperament to be in agreement and not allow disillusionment or division among them. But being of the same mind and of the same judgment, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, they wanted to be together. Moving further away from the establishment of the church, attendance was still strong among the Christians. In Acts chapter 6, in verse number 1, it opens, "Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, which shows that the church kept growing. The Greek word means to increase, to grow, to multiply. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase," or multiply, "greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." We're informed that the number of disciples was multiplying. They had gone on from adding to the number, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 5, to now multiplying in number. The want-to religion of Christianity had become contagious. Following the stoning of Stephen, severe persecution came upon the church. Christians were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria and beyond. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And the disciples moved on preaching the word. Acts 8 and verse 4. So despite the threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, Acts 9 and verse 1, the church was still meeting. It was still strong and vibrant in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. Persecution then served simply as a catalyst for the spreading of the church, for the spreading of the gospel, and the spreading of this want-to attitude among Christians towards spiritual activities. As the Christians were scattered, people of Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch were able to hear the gospel. Converts preached the gospel to other Jews and to some Greeks, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Acts 11, verses 19 to 21. Paul and Barnabas were two men that were selected by the church in Antioch to go, or in Jerusalem, to go to Antioch, where the two men assembled with the church for a year. They taught considerable numbers, Acts 11, verse 26, and the disciples were first called Christians there in Antioch. Not long afterward, James was murdered, and Peter was put in prison, facing the same fate. But Peter was released. He was rescued by an angel, Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. And when he was released, he went to where they were gathered together and were praying. This was not a Lord's Day gathering, but a special assembly, if you will. This one devoted to prayer, devoted to praying for Peter's release. Motivated by the want-to principle, disciples taught Jews and Gentiles, leading to conversions, and the new name of prophecy, Isaiah 62 and verse 2, was given. The new name, Christian. Christians assembled for special assemblies as well as the regular assemblies. Paul and Barnabas were chosen by the church at Antioch to be missionaries, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. They went on their missionary journey, and when they returned to Antioch, Acts chapter 14, verses 26 through 28, tell us that they had to gather together. They had to assemble the church in order to present their mission report. Acts chapter 15 then details an assembly that was gathered to ascertain what God requires because of what some brethren were teaching. After that discussion, a letter was written and sent to counteract the misguided preaching of the Judaizing teachers. So again, a special assembly was gathered for the delivering of this letter, Acts chapter 15 and verse 30. As Paul and Barnabas would continue with their mission efforts, Paul would go on a second and third missionary journey. These two journeys would include him revisiting formerly established congregations. As Paul would arrive at each congregation, he would come to find that these churches were still assembling. They were still assembling together based upon a want-to principle. In Acts chapter 20, we read that Paul was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem. He was looking to get to Jerusalem in time for the observance of the Feast of Pentecost. However, he delayed his travels several days in Troas, waiting for the Lord's Day worship. Acts chapter 20, verses 6 through 8. He waited so that he could partake of the Lord's Supper. The assembling of the Lord's body is described in Acts 20, verse 7, as when we were gathered together to break bread. Verse 8, it's described as when we were together. Continuing his journey, though, Paul went on towards Jerusalem. But later, he stayed 7 days with the disciples in Tyre, possibly because he again was waiting for the Lord's Day assembly. Acts chapter 21, verses 3 through 4. The religious and social closeness and fellowship continued for the church, as is seen in the farewells given to Paul. Acts chapter 20, verses 36 through 38. And again, Acts chapter 21, verses 5 through 6. Their gathering together on the Lord's Day, as well as these special assemblies and the additional assemblies in house to house, brought a closeness among the brethren that caused great sincerity and love. The Lord's Day or worship assemblies receive much emphasis in the book of Acts. But the book of Acts also tells us of additional assemblies outside of that of the Lord's Day. When Christians want to get together, they will gather. When Christians have the same want-to attitude as the earliest Christians, there will be no need for an admonition to assemble. Look in Scripture. See if you can find an admonition to assemble. But as time would have it, some Christians would begin to forsake the assembling. And so it brought the need for the admonition in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Backing up to verse 24, it begins the context by asking, "Let us consider one another how to stimulate to love and good deeds." Verse 25, "not forsaking our own assembling together, as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." There had been no need to encourage the Christians to assemble because they understood it was based on want to. It was a matter of the heart being closer to God. It was a matter of their faith being strengthened. They understood that assembling was something that was needed. The command then, Hebrews 10 verse 25, the command is to not forsake the assembling. All appointed assemblies is implied because the Lord's Day assembly is not singled out or alone specified. Hebrews 10:25 addresses appointed, regular, specified assemblies for which it was sinful for them to purposefully miss. Forsaking appointed and regular assemblies is labeled as willful sin, verse 26 and 27 of Hebrews 10. And that willful sin is punishable by fiery indignation or the fury of fire. The context of Hebrews 10, verse 25, concludes with what is a harsh conclusion in verse 31. It reads, "It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So Christians today, specifically those Christians who are forsaking the assembly, choosing willfully not to assemble with the Lord's body, need to be reminded of what the judgment is concerning that willful practice of missing. To encourage attendance, Christians must make assembling with the church a priority. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, in order to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, one must make it a priority above all else. Christians should impress upon one another the spiritual significance of worshiping God and taking advantage of Bible classes, gospel meetings, and other spiritual activities. Christians need to understand the relationship between worshiping God and studying the Bible versus their salvation from sin now and the prospect of being with God eternally. That prospect of being with God eternally rests upon the Christian running a race in a way now that they may win later. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. The crown of life awaits those who are faithful until death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Christians ought to develop relationships and friendships with brethren so that they will desire to be with the brethren more. Hebrews 13 verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. The early Christians developed this want-to attitude about their assembling together that developed relationships in which it would be hard-pressed for us to believe that they did not want to be with one another because of the love they had for one another. Christians are to use the power of prayer, James 5 and verse 16, as they encourage Christians to attend and invite non-Christians to come and whet their appetite, so to speak, for life-giving water. A Christian is married to Christ. Therefore, the Christian ought to do everything possible to strengthen that bond. A Christian has been joined to Christ so that the Christian ought to use the assembly to bring others to Christ. Romans 7, verse 4. To help restore the erring. James 5, 19 to 20. To show love for the brotherhood, Hebrews 13, verse 1. And to be a brother's keeper, Genesis 4 and verse 9. Since a Christian is a priest, Revelation 1 and verse 6, part of the royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, as one who has been purchased and redeemed, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, by the blood of Christ, Acts 20 and verse 28, then the Christian must glorify God by drawing near with confidence to His throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need, Hebrews 4 and verse 16. If the Christian needs edification, encouragement, fortification, conviction, knowledge, and associations when we are beaten down, discouraged, or simply needing help, then the Christian should seek to store up these things before they are needed in abundance. If a Christian is truly seeking, that is, continually trying to find, continually searching for, if the Christian is truly seeking first God's kingdom, that's God's kingly rule in his life, and God's righteousness, doing what is pleasing to God, and the Christian is truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness, Matthew 5 and verse 6, The Christian should do what is obviously pleasing to God by assembling at every opportunity, if at all possible. If a Christian is willing to die for Christ, the Christian should want to assemble in His presence with the brethren. But just as with the encouragement found throughout the book of Acts concerning the early church and its practice of assembling based upon a want-to religion, a word of caution that follows in Hebrews 10:25, we give a word of caution to you. Two of the five churches that are condemned in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 had lost their want-to religion. The church at Ephesus left her first love. The church at Laodicea had become lukewarm. Wonder if it correlated with some's attendance. You see, the simple fact is this. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ who is supposed to be inviting others to come. But to invite others to come, we ourselves must be present. We must be present with the Spirit to join in Revelation 22 and verse 17, to join with the Spirit and the bride, to invite all who will hear to come and take the waters of life without cost. If anyone this morning wants to come, wants to accept, receive the Lord's blessing and the life-giving water, let that one believe God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Let them repent of sin, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Confess Jesus, 1 John 4 verses 2 and 3. And be baptized, Acts 22, verse 16. If you're a Christian who needs to repent and return to God, come to Jesus and receive spiritual strength and strength to be prepared for the coming of the Messiah, Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. This invitation is the same as the invitation for all those who need to respond. The invitation is for you to accept, for you to receive the blessings that God so bountifully wants to give. You can accept the invitation, or you can reject the invitation. It's based upon your want to, which is based upon your heart. It's based upon your faith. If you're in need of putting Christ on in baptism, we would encourage you to do so. If you need to respond, repenting of some things, or you need to respond simply asking for prayer, we would allow you the opportunity because our leader, Jesus the Christ, has given you the invitation. As we stand and as we sing.